Welcome. This is Don't Wait to Test Drive Your Dreams. That's what we're talking about tonight. And during the call, you are going to learn how to start trying out your dreams now without having to quit your job, which is the goal of all of my stuff. So in a minute, I'm going to have you introduce yourselves and ask you a question. But first, let me just ask, have you ever heard, you or anyone you know has ever said something like, when I retire, I'm going to paint or travel or write a book or work with nonprofits or start a new career, or heard somebody say, you know, someday I'm going to go find a job doing my real love? Have you guys heard those before?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I think the problem with that, of course, is that some days often get put off till another someday. And we miss out on a lot of really great life by waiting to start doing the things that we love. And so that's the real tragedy, I think. And because the world really needs you to have fun, because if you're having fun, you're doing what you're made to do. So so that's kind of the starting point for tonight. And we're going to talk about four things tonight. First, we're going to talk about the little and big things that interest you, your dreams or wishes, and how they can tell you everything you need to know to figure out your ideal life. Second, you are going to learn how to make your dreams bite-sized so that you can get a little taste of them right away. You're going to learn, and you're going to take one of your own dreams and make it into something that's doable. And then the third section is kind of the how-to guide for trying out your bite-sized interests. You'll learn where to look, you'll get some ideas on ways that will work for your particular style, and you'll plan out an experiment that you will do in the next week, hopefully. And then the last thing we're going to cover is something I call the someday list. And you'll learn that it's really great to have lots of interests. That's a really good thing. And you'll learn what to do with them all and how to keep adding new things to your list. So my goal is that by the end of the call, you will have your own idea that you can try out. And you will have a plan to do it in the next week. So that's what I hope we get to. So the call, just some logistics, the call is meant to be interactive, so please jump in and ask questions or make comments. I am recording this, so just use your first name, and please introduce yourself whenever you make a comment so we know who you are, although that'll be easy with just three of us. If you want to mute your phone, you can use *6, and to unmute, just do *6 again. And then I'm recording this, so I'll put it up on the website, and I'll send you a link probably tomorrow or certainly by the end of the week. So, well, let's get started. So if you guys could just tell your first name again and tell one thing you'd love to change about your work, if you could change anything. So, Melissa, you want to go first?
Sure. So this is Melissa, and I said here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I work in the program office for the Master of Fine Arts at Queen's University, where I graduated from. And I would say that one thing I've noticed, even though I'm now in a job that I actually really like and around people I really like to be around, other writers, I have noticed that I have a tendency to get really sucked in and focused on tasks that are – and I don't really give myself very much time to kind of let my mind wander or, you know, think carefully or creatively about either the job or the other things I'd like to think creatively about, like writing.
Okay.
So that's one thing I'd like to change.
Okay, perfect. Good. All right. Elizabeth, how about you?
Okay, I'm a project engineer, so I'm kind of like a project manager in a hospital. And what I would like to change, I kind of actually like what I do. I work with like kind of a lot of different variety type of projects and things like that. What I'd like to take away is basically the constant need to kind of just cut costs constantly. It's just kind of like, you know, we're down to the meat and we have to cut that too. And it's just really, it's really hard because when we're working with people, employees, their job or something like that type of thing. So it's a lot of stress, and I'd like to take the stress away, but kind of keep what I do as a lot of variety.
Okay. All right. That's good. Hey, did somebody just join in?
Hi, it's Rachel. I'm coming in for a little bit.
Okay, great. Hey, so Rachel, tell us one thing you'd like to change about your work.
One thing I'd like to change about my work, I would like to have more variety.
Okay. All right, cool. So, well, definitely, Rachel and Melissa, I will hopefully give you some new ideas of things to try that might help with those pieces. Maybe not at work, but in your life generally. And then, Elizabeth, I got to think about your stress situation. But I got more. I can talk to you about that later.
Okay, great.
So hopefully we can cover that. All right, well, let's talk about the first part of the talk today. And the first thing we're going to talk about is your individual, unique set of interests. And so what I'm talking about is everything from what you like to do on your days off to what magazines draw your attention to what your perfect job would look like to what your biggest dreams are, just everything, that combination of things that makes you you. And one of the things I want to say is that if you can get a handle on the details and get a good understanding of what those pieces are of you, that you would have like a window onto who you are and what you want to do. Do you guys kind of follow that let me just ask, do you agree with that or concept, or does that make sense?
Yeah, you mean that?
Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, you mean that if I can get a clear picture of some of the just the general things I enjoy, that I can kind of use that for my work?
Yeah, I guess what I mean is that if there were a way that you could understand all the little quirks and pieces that make Rachel Rachel, like, you know, all the things that you're pulled to do, that you like to do, and understand them in a really kind of clear, specific way, that would give you an insight into ways you can make choices about things that would be meaningful to you and that you would give you purpose in your life.
Got it.
So that idea is kind of the umbrella, I guess, for what we're going to talk today. That if you follow the logic of what I said, that it's simple, but it's kind of profound too. Because if what it means is that your interests are, if they're there, and that you're getting signals about what you like or don't like or what pulls you, then you're really kind of getting. You're already getting signals, clues about what you need to do in your life or what would be meaningful to you in your life. And that means that you wouldn't have to invent your ideal life, and you don't have to put it off till later. And then if you could understand those things, you could actually start to live that life now. And so that's really what I want to start to talk about tonight, is that how can you get a clearer picture of what your interests are in a way that could help you make decisions about your life. So, but there's a couple of things that get in the way of understanding what we like. And I'll tell you a story to kind of illustrate one of these. When I was 5 years old, I lived in Decatur, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And my grandmother lived in a small town nearby. And sometimes my mom would take me and my brothers to meet my grandmother at this mall called Lenox Square to go shopping. There was only one thing that I really liked about doing this, but it wasn't the shopping. What I liked was that I knew I was going to get ice cream if I was good at the end at the Baskin-Robbins there. So, of course, my mom and my grandmother, they did like the shopping. And there was one store that I particularly hated. It was called Muses. It had a huge women's department with lots of racks of clothes. And the racks had those round bars at the top that the dresses would hang on, and you could slide the dresses back and forth, and they'd make that squeak sound. And you could spin it around to look for different sizes. So what do you think my mom and I saw when we looked at those racks of clothes? Well, I'm sure my mom was thinking about, you know, maybe the style or the fabric or maybe the sizes of the dresses, but not me and my brother. To us, that was the one cure for boredom in that whole store, because it was an awesome place to play hide and seek. So under those dresses that could spin around. So, you know, I think when you're talking about a kid and an adult looking at something, you can understand how people see things. You can understand how we would see that differently. But I think that's more generally true. Because it happens as adults too. I mean, have you ever been dragged along with a boyfriend or a spouse to do something that you had no interest in, but that they loved. So you guys can relate to that?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah. So we definitely all experience times where there are where two people see the exact same thing in different ways. And then the other thing that happens is like the I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. It's called High School Musical. It's this popular Disney thing. But basically there's a basketball player who has to hide his interest in the school play because he doesn't want his buddies to make fun of him, who are his basketball teammates. So I think when you get a case like where, like, you know, I'm getting yelled at for being underneath the clothes that my mom's looking at, or you get peer pressure to not do something else, those are times where you get some kind of external force that's kind of showing you how you're different than somebody else. But a lot of times we don't have those kind of signals coming to tell us that we're actually different than other people. And one reason that happens is that we have a tendency, just everybody does, to think that everybody else is thinking the same way that we are. And psychologists call this projection. So, and everybody does this. You guys can relate to this where, you know, like if you're having an argument with somebody, you might assume their motives are related to what maybe your motives really were. So like last week, one of my daughters came home and she kicked out one of the glass panels in our back door. And so that's the fact. And our dogs were fighting, and she kicked the glass door out. So if you ask my wife, Kitty, what happened, Kitty's really mad at her because she was in a bad, our daughter was in a bad mood, and she shouldn't have been kicking the door anyway, and so she wants to punish her. But if you ask me, I would say Meg was just had things in her hands and was just reacting and trying to break the dogs up. So that's another case where two things, the exact same thing happened, but we're having a different perspective to look at it. So the point of all this is that we think that other people think the same way we do. So and then if you take that, if you extend that, what that means is that if you're just sitting around and thinking about what we ought to do with our lives, that's not going to help us figure out something that we can't see about ourselves. So is that, you guys follow that?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we need another way to go about trying to sense these things that are different than the ones that we're getting signals on externally. So what we're going to do tonight is learn how to take these interests that we have and find a way to break them into pieces that we can go try, so we can literally go test drive things and actually actively do them to see how they make us feel, instead of having to think about what we might like, or if you just had to sit down and make a list like I made you do last week. So next week I'm going to talk in more detail about how to know when something that you have tried is right for you or something you need to pursue further. But so that's next week. But before you get to that point, you need a way to make your interests and your dreams into some kind of doable size that you can fit into a busy working life. So we're going to do an exercise on this in a minute. So I wanted to pause and ask, do you guys all have an idea of something you want to try? I know, Elizabeth, you have a ton of them because you sent me an email.
Yeah.
Melissa, yeah. Did you get my email on that? Can you think of something that you'd like to do?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. And Rachel, how about you?
I do. I have to, I thought I was going to be able to stay, but I have to run. Will this be recorded? Because I'm curious about what you're going to do next.
Okay, yeah, I'm recording it, so I'll send that link.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. That's all right. Thanks for calling in. All right.
Sounds really good, Alan. This sounds fascinating. I need to learn this stuff.
Okay, all right.
All right, bye.
Okay. So I picked one, too. Last week, Elizabeth, I made my top 10 list, and so I picked one, and I'm going to do this with you guys. So why don't we go around and tell what your idea is? So, Elizabeth, you want to go first?
Just pick one.
Yeah, just pick one for today.
Can I go after Melissa, just because I'm trying to look through my list real quick?
Okay, sure. So let me just say, pick one. If you have multiple ones to pick through, try to pick one that you don't know much about. Not because they need to be that way, But if it's something you already know about, I would put that off till next week, and we can talk about it. So today, try to pick one that you don't know much about. So Melissa, what's yours? And I'll tell mine.
Okay. So mine is I would like to do an experiment where I try to go a month without purchasing anything with plastic in it.
Okay.
And then write about that experience and sort of research, like, what, you know, how bad is plastic really? Are there grades of badness in plastic? You know, is this even a useful exercise in terms of, you know, being environmentally friendly?
Okay.
And then write about it.
Okay. So really, you almost want to do to almost do like an environmental paper or something, like a white paper or something, like as if
exactly.
You were a reporter or something.
Exactly. Along with a sort of experiment, you know,
experimental
kind of
piece.
A life and lifestyle change.
Life,
right?
Experiment. Yeah. Lifestyle. Okay, that's cool. All right. So the one I have was, I wanted to work with a professional photographer. That's what mine was. I had on my list. So I'm going to use that. And you ready, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm ready. I picked one.
Okay.
I'd like to learn how to do like kind of 3D modeling and animation.
Okay.
Cool.
That's
something I've never done before.
On a computer, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, great. So we'll hold on to this for just a minute. And then, so now we're going to talk about how we can turn these into something that we can try. So, and just three things to keep in mind when you're doing these kind of experiments. First one is that it only really takes a little taste of something to get a sense of whether it's worth pursuing. In other words, if you start doing this experiment and you start trying this thing out, you're going to know pretty soon whether this is a fit for you or not, or what parts of it are. So it doesn't have to be something big. That's one thing. And then another thing is that the important part is that you get to have an actual experience. So you're actually using your senses somehow. You're really doing it. You're not just reading about something or watching a TV show about something. You're actually getting out and doing it. So not like watching a cooking show, but actually buying vegetables and chopping them up and making something, that distinction. So those are the key things that we're going to focus on as we go through this. Okay, so now we're talking about that. We're moving on to the second topic now. And so this is how to take our dreams and make them doable, okay? So let's see. So do you guys know the little candy they sell around Halloween, the little, you know, the small-sized candy bars and the packages of Skittles and M&Ms? Yeah, the little size one. Yeah. So this drives my daughter crazy. Do you know what they're called? What they call that size?
I think Melissa said it right.
What's that?
The fun size?
Yeah, fun size. Exactly. They're called fun size. And Meg hates that because she argues that that's not fun if they're really small, right? But it's a marketing thing, right? But I think that term fun size is a really good term for what we want to do when we break down these interests that we're going to try out, because it incorporates the fact that we're going to make them small, but it's really important that they're fun. I mean, that's one of the big things you need to watch out for when you're doing this. And the reason that they need to be fun is that so you have a reward while you're in the process of doing it. You know, if it's something you're interested in doing and you want to try, you're going to get something out of doing this. Because what happens is when we start doing things that are related to something important to us, we can put too much pressure on them, and then you'll start to trigger that resistance, like writer's block or whatever, when you're doing something that matters to you. So at least if you have something fun, you'll have some intrinsic motivation keep doing it. And one example from my life is that almost every Saturday for the last 6 years, I take my daughters on Saturday mornings and we go get donuts. And we spend a few hours together, and we're relaxed, and it's a good way for us to stay connected. And that's one of those things that if I just told some other dad that I did that, they'd probably go, oh, wow, man, you know, I really ought to do more stuff like that. I don't spend enough time with my kids. But that's not why I've done it for all that time at all. Really, the reason I started doing it was because when my kids were little, I just had to get out. I'm an extrovert, and I just needed to get out of the house on Saturdays. And my wife was really tired, and she wanted to be home alone, and she liked that. And so it was just fun for me, and I like eating donuts. So I just picked something that I really like doing, and because I like doing it, we kept doing it. And so I've gotten this kind of really I've gotten all the benefits that do come out of spending time with your kids like that. But I didn't start from the perspective of saying, okay, how can I do something to spend more time with my kids? I started with fun, you know. So I started with, you know, what would I do that's really fun, and how could I bring my daughters too, and we turn it into something. So that's just to, you know, reinforce that fun is like the key, number one key thing when we're trying to do these. And then the other piece to keep in mind is that you want to try to make them specific, because the more specific and kind of granular you can make these little experiments that you do, the easier it is to find different ways to do it. And just one guy said this at a seminar I was given. He said, you know, if you give me a blank canvas and say, go paint, it's just overwhelming. I can't begin at all. But if you tell me to go paint a landscape or a portrait or a still life, then I can go do it. So I think that's the philosophy, is like, if we can make it into something that is very specific, as specific as you can, you're going to get something out of anything you do. But the more specific it is, it's going to be really easy for you to go find a way to do it. So, all right. So those are the two things, fun and specific. So now we're going to talk about how do we break these things down. So, okay. So the simplest way to do that is just to take some idea of what you want to do and just ask yourself, what is it about this that I think I would like? And sometimes it helps to tell somebody else. So let's take my example of work with a famous photographer. Now, if you didn't know anything about me, and I said work with a famous photographer, you might think I was like a model or an actor or something, and I wanted to get a picture made by one of those. But what that means to me is I'd like to assist with a photographer or be around them. So if I take that another level down, you know, when I think about working with a photographer, what does that mean to me? Well, let's see. I want to, I really want to learn from a photographer. And I really want to learn, like, how to take portraits better. I probably want to learn about lighting. And I'd love to see how they kind of work with their models and how they set up a shoot. And I'd love to just see how they conceive of an idea for something. So are you guys kind of following what I'm doing? Does that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See that? So what I'm trying to do is say, what does it mean for me? Now, if somebody else said, I want to work with a famous photographer, it might be because they want to make contacts in the industry or something else. And then you would do a whole another kind of experiment. You know, so just like the clothes racket muses, my mom and I saw it a different way. People are going to do it a different way. So for me, if I start thinking about, okay, I want to work with a famous photographer, and for me that means, you know, I said learning about lighting. I'm doing this real time. Lighting, and then how do they conceive of a photograph? Okay. So if I think of those two things right there, you know, I don't really have to go to New York and talk Annie Leibovitz into letting me follow her around, right? I could learn about lighting another way. I could try that out. I could probably find a website that had some instructions or videos, and I could go copy it myself. And then I could also work on how to conceive a photograph. I know I could go look up. I could probably go find some of those people's portfolios, and I could look at them, and I could go copy what they do. And so both of those things are things that I could do sort of right away. And if I try those, then I'm going to start to get a feel for, okay, was that what I thought it was? Did I like that? That sort of thing. So is that you guys following my train of thought there?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do y'all's things. So Melissa, let's talk about yours.
I was just thinking, okay, well, what is it that I think I would really like about it? And it's probably not so much, I think actually the thing that I think about, that makes me not want to do this project, is the idea of how much work it would be when you think about
how... Yeah, right. Okay.
So I think, okay, well, so that's going to be hard to overcome. Why is it you want to do this project? And I think it's this idea of, like, finding out the answers to the questions I have about plastic and its environmental impact, because I don't really know anything about it. And I'm sort of skeptical of, I find that I'm skeptical about a lot of what I hear in the popular press, you know?
Okay.
So I think that's the thing. It's actually the research element and the storytelling element that I would like.
How about the lifestyle experiment? That was the third piece that I heard you talking about.
Yeah, well, and there is the idea of liking the idea of challenging myself, of doing something, of having done something hard.
Okay.
I don't know if I will actually like the doing of it, but the having done, I will enjoy.
Right, okay, that's cool. Well, let's focus on the storytelling piece and the finding the answers to the questions piece. Let me tell you what, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so I think those are good. So one is to find the answers to the questions about basically taking something that's been popularized and is taken as sort of gospel in the culture, and then you want to find out what the truth is behind that for yourself. And then you want to be able to take facts like that you've done on your own. For the storytelling part, is it about telling something that you've done yourself, or is it just generally telling a story?
I think both. The idea of crafting a narrative around a compelling narrative that other people would want to read, that isn't just sort of interesting because it's about, you know, this sort of popular topic, but also tells a personal story.
Okay. So that's part.
I think the creation part is really fun.
Okay. All right. So so there you're really trying to communicate something in a way that would grab lots of people's interests.
Right.
Through the way you do it. Okay. All right. So those are your two. So we'll come back to that. Okay. So Elizabeth, let's talk about yours.
Like 3D, kind of 3D modeling and animation.
Yeah.
Kind of more like the 3D modeling. I always really thought that was really interesting, like when I used to work in manufacturing and I'd see people like the designers designing stuff. And I think part of it's because I always like to learn something new. It's kind of something I actually always wanted to do. I don't have a lot of like mechanical or electrical skills. So like I might have an idea for something like maybe that might not even exist, like something with kind of like blinking lights or something like that. I don't personally know how to make, you know, that kind of stuff. Don't know electricity and things like that. So I thought it'd be kind of a cool way for me to like play around and design just cool things.
So you'd like to take what's one of the fun things is if you could do that 3D modeling, then you could have an idea and then put it into some kind of form that you could see if it worked or not. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So take an idea of a physical thing. Is that important too?
Yeah. Very like physical, like things you could touch or
something you could touch, right? Yeah.
Or do something with kind of like just products in general, because I have a lot of ideas for like, you know, interior design products or just mechanical type products and things like that. But I just have a lot of ideas that I think it would be cool to be able to design.
Okay. So you'd like to be, so it's about, it would be cool if you could take an idea and turn it into something you could hold. It sounds like that's part of it too, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make a prototype or something.
If I did it on a computer, you know, I don't have to workshop. I have to clean it up or anything. And I can, you know, have lights on it that flash and blink, but I don't know how to do that, you know, with something in actual physical world. So.
Okay. That's cool. All right. Okay, so let me see what else. Yeah. So what have you ever done anything like that before?
No.
Okay.
I started out actually doing my bachelor's degree is in graphic design. So I have done like kind of two-dimensional, you know, like brochures and that kind of illustration stuff. But I've never done actually like 3D modeling type stuff.
Okay, that's cool. So we'll work with that. Okay, so that's one because we just did three examples. That's how you, one way you can break down something into its kind of component parts. And in a minute, I'll show you how you take that and then turn it into something else. It is kind of like, this is more, I would say, more of an art than a science for how to break these into pieces. Because, you know, I'm sitting here asking you about it, but depending on what, how you think or how your brain works, there are a lot of other ways to do this too. So I'm going to give you a few of these, and I'll send these out. But just for example, another way you could do this is think about somebody who does that job, and then try to visualize what are the different parts of what they do. Last week, somebody brought up that they thought about being a fundraiser for a nonprofit, and so if she were here, I could ask her, you know, what do you think a fundraiser does? And then she would say, well, she might say they meet people to ask for money, or they speak at conferences about their nonprofit, or they organize groups of people to do things. And whatever her answers are, hers would probably be different than that, but those answers are that next specific thing down that you can kind of break up and to turn it to something else. So you can visualize a job. That's another way to do it. Let's see. And then and you can do that. Let's see. The way to do it is to just keep going down the level of asking, kind of like, what do I like about it, and just keep asking that question as deep as you can. Melissa, did you do Six Sigma when you were at Bank of America?
I did. Yep.
You know, the five whys. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a way to find a root cause of some problem. You ask why five times.
Why? Right. Right.
Yeah, like a little kid would. Well, I think my analogy for that is the kind of what do you like about it or whatever. Just keep asking, well, what do you like about that? What do you like about that? Until you get it down to something, because you'll see in a minute what we're going to do is take those and then try to find a quick way to try it out so we can feel it, get a feel for it. So, and then one other thing, Elizabeth, this is really for you. So if you have a long list of things that you might want to try, which is a good thing, here, one way to, if you want to try to pick one of them, here are some things you could think about. One is just like, what's your interest level about it? You know, just try to pick one that really is something that you really are excited about right now.
Okay.
Another thing to do is think about what's easy to try. So if you've got a lot of them, what's one that I know a way to do, or I can see a way to do? So that's another one. And then another thing to do is just pick one that's your newest idea or something that you know the least about, because you're going to learn more from that than you would maybe something that's been a hobby for a while that you're just adding incrementally to.
Okay.
So, but again, the main thing is you want to, but I really want to stress, it needs to be fun and something you can do easily. So not much money, not much time. I really try to do that. So I'll give you another example for me. One time I was like traveling for work, and I bought a magazine, and I saw this article about this guy, and his name is Luca Turin, and they call him the Emperor of Scent, and he's a famous, I guess, perfumer, and he knows a lot about how people smell. He studied that, the kind of biology of that, and he's worked as a consultant for a lot of the big perfume houses, and he's also like a great writer, so he's really good at describing in a really funny way what perfumes smell like. So in this magazine, he was talking about his top 10 perfumes and colognes of all time, and I just started thinking about that. So I went to the library and I got the book that was about him. And it turned out that it's fascinating, all this stuff about smell. It's the sense that's least understood, but it's also the sense that holds the strongest memories for us. And so there's a lot about that. And I just started getting into this idea of, you know, perfumes and how does that work and everything. So what I did was I started with that idea. And I said, okay, how can I go try this out? And I said, well, let me just take that list of the top 10 perfumes, and I'm going to go to the mall, and I'm going to go to the Sephora store, and I'm going to go around and try to smell as many of those as I can just to see how they smell versus what they said about them, right? So I went and did that. And they didn't have them all. They just had a few of them. And so then I got on Google, and I looked, and I was looking for these perfumes and colognes, and it turned out there were a lot of little companies that will sell you just like a little $3 vial of these perfumes. So then I started, then I just said, okay, well, I'm going to buy all the top 10. So, and then I started kind of smelling these things and then thinking about what they meant to me and kind of like being that kind of perfume reviewer, I guess, of what that was. And again, that didn't lead me to my purpose in life, but it did kind of give me some new thoughts about something I could do on a seminar with smell and some other things. So it led me to some other ideas that I'm using in something that's a bigger part of my life. And none of that cost me much money. I think I spent, you know, less than $30 on those samples. And of course the mall trip was free. So that's another example of something I actually have already done.
That sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. So
that's one of my absolute favorite all-time books about science
writing.
Isn't it awesome?
Oh my god! Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, so it's so interesting that nobody knew how smell worked. I mean,
I think it's the name of the book.
It's called The Emperor of Scent.
Oh,
it's actually written by somebody else. And then there's another book that this guy wrote that's called The Perfumes, The Guide, or something, which is also pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
So. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the third part, which is how to, which is, this is like, how do we do stuff? So that perfume was one example of how you could do it. And there's two kind of big categories of ways you can do it. And one is what we're going to do right now, which is actively planning it out, kind of like I did with the perfume. I said, okay, I want to go try this thing. How can I do it for free and with, you know, less than an hour of my time this week? So that's an active way to look. And then the other category is like a passive way. And in a minute, we're going to talk about this someday list, which is one way to do that. And then another way to do that is just being open to things as they come along and realizing that anything that you try is going to tell you something about what you like and don't like. So there's no real failures in these experiments. It's like, if it doesn't work, that's a data point of something that, you know, okay, I don't have to do that anymore, or yes, that was great and I like this part of it, so let me do more of that. So just being open to opportunities that come along is a great way to do this without having to spend even a lot of time planning it out. So just be aware that that's another way to do it. So okay, so let's talk about how we can go out and plan a way for y'all to do what you're going to do. So, you know, a great way to start is obviously Google. That's one of my favorite things. And here's some just general ideas of things you can try. So you can go to you can find a store where they sell things related to what you're interested in. You know, Melissa, for you, maybe you could find somebody who's a plastics recycler, you know, you could go talk to or something and go watch them do that stuff and ask them questions. Actually, I know somebody who does that. Let me think.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. Let me write that down.
You know someone who does that.
What's that?
Of course you know someone who does that.
I know, yeah. you know, so, or if you were like into outdoor stuff or climbing, you might go to a store where they do that. And when you got there, you'd meet other people who do that, and they might turn you on to like groups that were going to go on a hike, or they might have like a climbing wall, like they do at a sporting goods store here. So you can go to places where other people are selling stuff related to that. That's one. Another way to do it is there's a website called meetup.com that I tell everybody about. And what it is a place where groups organize themselves in different cities. So like here in Charlotte, I think there's like 136 meetings every month on all kinds of topics, like a Chihuahua owners group, there's a travel group, and then there's a screenwriters group. And what it is somebody just takes the initiative to organize a group because they really like this subject, and then people will come and talk about it, and you can actually meet people in person. And that's a good way to find out about opportunities to do things. So I've done that. Then, of course, there's Yahoo groups where people talk about different subjects. You can always find blogs on things, and those are people you can ask if you want to learn how to try something out. And then you can do things like hobby, taking something up as a hobby, you can volunteer. There are things like fantasy camps. So if you want to, I know there's a, I just saw this. It's like a rock and roll fantasy camp where you go to LA, and I think you get to play with somebody from Van Halen or something. So, and I know they have one that, there's a website called Vocation Vacation where you can go try out these things. I think, Elizabeth, you looked at that last week.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So but one thing to think when you've got all these different ways to do these things is that think about ways that what's your kind of preferred way to try new things out. So, for example, I interviewed my mom for my website about her career, and what she said for her was she noticed that whenever she wanted to make a change, she would tend to go back to school. So she, like, one point took pottery classes, at one point got a master's degree, but that's kind of her instinct is to go to school, and that's something she's comfortable doing. So that's one way to go and meet new people at least. And then another person I talked to did it by volunteering. So she liked to volunteer with organizations who could teach her about new areas. So think about kind of what works for you. And like in my own case, if I want to learn something new, I typically, two ways that I know work well for me. One is to take like a seminar, like a one-time class. And the other way is for me is just to talk to somebody who's an expert in that field. I love to meet people. All right, so let's talk about your particular ones. So who wants to go first? Somebody muted, so I'll let the other person go first.
This is Elizabeth. I guess I can go.
Okay, go ahead.
I like to, well, my husband likes to call me and my mom like a perpetual student.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like to learn new things all the time, and I get bored if I'm not taking something. So, you know, I like to learn and take classes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And even like if it's even in like an online type class, but yeah, I miss kind of like going to school and things like that. And I know that there's like we have a lot of colleges around here, like technical colleges that might have something related to what I want to do.
Okay, that's cool. You know, I was thinking the other thing you could do is you could get on Google and look for companies who do there's a name for this. There are companies that have machines that make three-dimensional models of things.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is you do your 3D drawing, and then you email it to them, and it's this powder resin stuff, and it actually makes a one piece of whatever it is you want to do.
Cool.
And you might look for some of those companies, and what would they be called? You could probably just look up a CAD, you know, computer aided design.
This kind of sounds like rapid prototyping, kind of like.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what I was thinking is maybe you could check out one of those places and they might have some kind of easy interface or something you could play with that wouldn't take you, where you wouldn't have to learn the whole CAD right away.
Yeah, because I just don't want to learn something too complicated that it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
So that would be a good place to start is just finding simpler tools to use that are more user-friendly so that you don't have to learn AutoCAD or something to get started. The other thing I was thinking about is that I know, like, I think MIT has all of their classes online.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so you might check there and see if there are anything around what you want to do.
Oh, that's good.
And then I would just look for, I would try to, let's see, you know, the other thing you could do is look up, I don't know if this is the same thing, but you could try making a 2D model of something that's paper that when you fold it up, it turns into something that you like. I think there are sites that show you how to do that kind of thing, too.
Well, I used to like origami, kind of, because it's basically taking two-dimensional and making it three-dimensional. So.
Yeah. So I would try to focus on finding, doing some searches to find something that you can do a little bit of that's sort of a elementary level of computer skill required at this point, just to see if you can design some idea you have, even if it's just a box or something simple, just to get that feeling to see if that works. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Actually, I have a couple forums that I'm on that kind of are into like making stuff, so I could ask them.
Yeah, there you go.
Ideas.
Yeah.
Because I know some of them use, like, animation. They could ask them the software they use or whatever.
Yeah, or if they know of something that, I mean, there might be, like, a kid software for kids or something that teaches them about that or something. Yeah.
That's a good idea. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Melissa, let's talk about yours.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. I was sitting there talking, and then I realized, I don't think they can hear me.
Yeah.
And there's also, I don't know, you've probably seen this, but, you know, Google has a free application that is like 3D design software.
Oh,
really?
Boom. There you go.
Yeah,
cool.
So if you just go, I don't know if it's out of beta testing yet or, you know, it's under the little labs link. I don't know. But if you just go to google.com and then look under labs or under their application list. And it looks really cool. Like, I mean, it's free for one thing, and it's, in Google, it's very, it seemed in the little tiny little bit that I played with it to be very pretty easy to use.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Melissa, let's figure out your piece. What can you do?
I was kind of thinking about this a little bit, like, oh, you know, this is the thing I always get myself in trouble with. I have these great ideas I'm super excited about, and then I get into them, and, like, they're way harder than I thought, or I get sort of stymied. But I really like the idea, instead of starting with this kind of hard, really inconvenient thing of, like, trying not to buy plastic, which could get old really quickly, like the first time, you know, I'm running home and need to get something for dinner. is to start with the research, I think, and just kind of go and see really, like, is this even a project that's, like, worth doing? Because I imagine that if I get into the research and I found that, hey, guess what, actually plastic is really horrible for the environment, well, then all of a sudden my motivation to see what it would be like to try to live without it goes way up.
Right.
So starting with the fun thing, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the other thing, too, is as you advised me a long time ago, you could start a blog with whatever you find, you know, kind of like a notebook, and just start capturing your data, and then you could start turning that into your story.
Right. Yeah. Start with the fun, easy stuff.
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh, no,
okay,
all
so you're
the
gonna
gears
go
are really, research. Yeah, the gears are really turning now. This is kind of cool. I've been putting off starting this project because I thought it seems really hard and I wanted to have the time to do it.
Right. See, that's the thing. Yeah, definitely. If you take one thing away, is that it's really worth it to just do some little teeny tiny piece of it, because it may turn out you don't like it anyway. And if you do like it and you try a small piece, you're going to be super motivated to do the next piece, and you'll probably know more. So don't fight yourself. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, because lots of interests I have, I kind of just went full blown and spent a lot of money and I didn't like it. And I'm kind of like, oh, why did I waste that? So I'm hesitant to try anything new.
Yeah.
Because you feel like it's too much of an investment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely encourage you guys to just try to do something as cheap and simple that is consistent with the core of whatever you're trying to do, because you'll get the same benefit out of doing that as you would by doing the whole thing. And again, if it's something you just love and you get into it, then you're going to find a way to do it. But it'll be easier to justify at that point, because you really know you do. So, like, one example, my wife, she got into real estate a few years ago, and it was something that she always loved since she was a kid. She loved looking at houses, and she was really good at knowing how to match people with a neighborhood and the house they would like, and she was also good at knowing kind of what made a house valuable and how to stage it to sell it. And we had a really good realtor, and she was like, you know, Kitty, you ought to be a realtor. You're going to be great. So she took – you have to take a lot of classes in North Carolina to get certified, and she did that. She took the test. She got hired at a realtor firm, and, you know, she was doing all the right stuff. And then she went and did her first couple of closes on a house, and she just hated it, because that's when she realized that that the parts of the job that were the things that she really loved are only about 10% of what a realtor does. And then what she couldn't stand was the fact that everybody she dealt with was in the process of making the biggest financial commitment of their lives. And so they were all on their worst behavior. And so she felt like she was just – most of her job was babysitting all these stressed out people. And so she ended up quitting. But, you know, if I'd figured this out a few years ago and I could have helped her try out the pieces, she might have learned that, you know, maybe there's another way she could do the part of it that she likes without having to go to all the trouble of becoming a realtor and spending all that time. So that's the other side of it, is if it doesn't work out and you do commit to it, sometimes you could have been doing some things that you like. So
she could go to work for, like, the Chamber of Commerce or something. like,
yeah, exactly. Or she could
wagon lady.
Yeah, or like be a stager for people's houses or that kind of thing.
Right,
You know, there's other jobs like that that she could do. So,
cool.
Okay, cool. So, do you guys feel like at least you got an idea and you've got a way to go about like taking another step with it and trying it out?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. Well, so then the last thing I wanted to talk about tonight, our last topic is I call it a someday list. And it's the place that let me start. So, you know, for someone like me or you guys, it sounds like, who wants to do lots and lots of things, when I found out about this, this was a real revelation for me because it took a lot of pressure off. And I first heard about it from a book called Getting Things Done, which is a kind of productivity time management book. And then Barbara Sher also talks about it in one of her books. But the idea is that you keep all of these interests or ideas or anything you feel like you want to try on one list somewhere, on a piece of paper or on a spreadsheet or something. And you don't have to do anything with them. All you have to do is write them down on that list. And so you don't worry that you're going to lose them somewhere or forget them. But also by putting them on that list, it means that you don't have to do anything about them right now. They're safe. They're living there. But for me, the magic of having that list was that somehow the process of taking the time to write that down, those ideas kind of stuck with me. And, you know, I look at the list every once in a while. And so what I realized is I just started doing those things. And I think it was a combination of just being aware of things I wanted to try. Then when opportunities would come up, I would do it because I was like, oh, that would be – I've always wanted to do that. And I kind of knew it already. I didn't have to think about it so much. And then I think the other thing is you just start to be aware of more things when you've processed it like that and put it down on paper. And so Melissa knows a story, but one of the things that on my someday list was that I always wanted to learn how to drive to be able to take a car, like on a James Bond movie or whatever, where you take it and you drive backwards really fast and you spin it around and then take off the other way. So actually, Melissa made the suggestion to me to go just get a rental car and do that. And so what I did was I went onto YouTube. Well, I think I searched it on Google, but I ended up on YouTube, and there were all these crazy kids who show you how to do this maneuver in a car. So I watched those, and so I kind of knew how to do it then. And that was one thing I did 1 week. And then I was just on this business trip, and we had a bunch of time to kill, and we had our car, and I was talking to my friend, and we just decided that we'd go try it out. So we spent about an hour in a parking lot in an office park in San Jose, California, doing these little maneuvers in a car. It was a blast, you know. But I don't think I would have ever thought to do that, and I wouldn't have known how I wouldn't have known how you move the steering wheel and stuff if I hadn't thought ahead of time to go take that one step and do it. And so, I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but there's been a number of things like that. That probably the biggest one was that last summer my family and I went and lived in Paris by doing a home swap, and we spent a whole month over there with a free place to stay. And that happened because I kind of had on my list that someday I wanted to live over abroad, and then I read about this home exchange idea, and that kind of clicked for me that maybe that's my way to try this out in a smaller piece. So it really is a surprisingly really effective and powerful way to make these things happen without having to do anything about it necessarily. So a lot of the things I've tried have come about that way just from me knowing that I want to do it. So that's keep that in mind. And then another thing that I want to say about the someday list, and also just this idea of trying things out to find out what you want to do. There's these little funny napkins that they sell in there's a place here in Charlotte called the Paper Skyscraper, and they have like vintage pictures of women from ads with funny captions on them. And there's one my wife has. It's like a 1950s housewife with an apron and a big smile, and she's pulling a pie out of the oven, and the caption says, "Fix your own damn dinner."
Oh, yeah.
And so, So there's another one that I saw that says, "I'm not looking for Mr. Right. I'm looking for Mr. Right Now." And so really, when you're doing these things and trying this out, you're not looking for the one thing that you're going to do for your whole life. I don't know that most people have that, But because we all have seasons in our lives and we're called to do different things at different times. And so if we take that kind of pressure off and just know that anything that we try, no matter what interest it is or whatever you pick to do that's fun, all those things are going to give you the clues to move to wherever it is you're supposed to be right now. So we don't have to overanalyze this. The neat thing about it is it really doesn't matter what you pick or what you do as long as you're kind of paying attention when you do it. And I'm going to talk a lot more about that next week, about how do you know for sure when something is something you ought to do or not. So so that's something just keep in mind. Don't make it too big a deal. And then the other thing about having this list and having lots of things that you try out and lots of things you want to do, other than it's just fun for people like us, but some other benefits are when you try different things intentionally like this, you'll start to learn things about yourself because you did these two things that seemed really different, but you saw a connection between the two of them. So an example for me would be I'd always liked doing photography, and I just liked taking portraits of people. That was one thing. And then I got into doing this kind of coaching and helping people find their purpose in life. And I realized that there's a connection between what I like about this work I'm doing now is I really think everybody's got something unique about them, but they don't understand it, kind of like what we're talking today about. And I realized in my photography, the pictures I liked the best were the ones that were pictures of people that really captured a real particular look about that person. So like if I take pictures of my daughters, that you know, funny look they get on their face, or if I'm taking pictures of people for money, or I'll try to capture them really relaxed in a picture that really shows through what their personality was. So there's a common thread that I found that goes through those that helps me kind of understand who I am. So having lots of different things that you're trying at different times helps you make connections that you couldn't make by doing any one thing by itself. So that's a benefit of having this list. The other thing that happened for me is I did a lot of these little experiments is I started to see some themes in my life as I started thinking about it. And I had, at one point I wrote down, you know, five themes. For me, they were vintage watches and clothing. Photography was one, travel, music, and then this coaching, kind of working with people. And once I realized that, then I could kind of take those five themes and go a little deeper in each one and start to continue to explore. So it's like you never really get there, but you just get closer and closer. And in the process of actively trying these things out, you get smarter and more specific about understanding yourself. And what I found is when you really know something about you that's kind of true, that's really specific, like I like to help people understand how they're unique. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways I could do that. When you understand it that way, you start to see more opportunities for ways you could do things. Whereas before, maybe I thought, okay, I want to be a trainer or an executive coach. Well, that's a real specific thing, and it probably takes a lot of time and a lot of money. But if I realize that underneath all that, what it is this thing about people's uniqueness, I do that all the time when I talk to people or help people. You know, that's one way to do it. Or I could do like I'm doing now and write a book and teach people in classes. So it's really, really, I think that's the goal, is to get to that understanding about yourself where you can then go out and find lots of ways to do what you're all about. So the themes is really important. And then the other nice thing about having a long list is that you don't have that feeling of that if this thing doesn't work out, then I don't know what I'm going to do next. You know, if you have a list of a lot of things, if something doesn't work out, hey, that's cool. That's just one thing. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll just go on and try the next thing. So it's good to keep adding to this list because of that. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to tell you about this list. Is this making sense to you guys? Let's just pause for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the last thing I want that is good about having this someday list that you're working on is when you have a list, you can also just sort of be more aware of things that come up. And there's a couple of kind of feelings that are good clues that something is really important to you. One is like whenever you feel kind of wistful or sentimental about something, you know, that's something you should pay attention to, that kind of feeling, because that's getting close to something that's really important to you. Another one is, and it's something, if you get that feeling, you should just kind of write down whatever you're thinking about at that point. It might not come to you right away why you're feeling that way, but, you know, I guess just this happened to me recently, and I can't remember what it was, but there was something that made me, it reminded me, it turned out as I thought about it, it reminded me of a guy I used to, that was a customer of mine, and it reminded me of this kind of personal relationship that he and I had on top of the business. And so that kind of reminded me of relationships or whatever. But anyway, it's not important that you have the answer right away, but just kind of note those feelings. And then the other big ones are like things that really make you mad that people do, that really, you know, when somebody does something that really just ticks you off, it's like, what, especially in a way that's like, how could somebody do something like that? You know, you just shouldn't do that. That's getting to your values and something that's important to you too. So that's something to note. Okay. So that's the last piece of that. So let me stop and ask for questions at this point. We're through most of the material. I want to leave you all with one thought at the end, but any questions or things you're wondering about?
I don't have any questions. This is Elizabeth, but I kind of thought about, you know, the first question you asked us, what we would like to change about our job.
Yeah.
I'd like to change mine.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
I really like what I do. I think I'd really just like to have my own business doing what I do instead of like working in an environment that I don't like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can relate to that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, that's good because we're going to work towards that. If you stick with me through these weeks, we're going to work towards how you fix your day job to make it
great,
not stressful and everything, because that's important too.
Okay,
okay, so what I wanted to ask you guys to do was to go do the thing that you said you would do this week, whatever that idea was, and then start a list. Start that someday list. Just write someday on top of a piece of paper, even if you don't do anything else. And the other thing that would be good to do, this is a great kind of passive way to look for stuff, is to go to Google and set up an alert. There's a thing called Google Alerts, and you have to look down a couple of levels on the navigation. But all you do is you put in your email address, and you just put in a search term. So you might put in, you know, 3D design software or, you know, plastic recycling or something. And then once a day, you'll get an email from Google, and they have a list of news articles and links to blogs and stuff like that. And it's just one email, and you don't have to open it, but it'll remind you. It'll just be a little reminder, and when you have time, you can go look at it, and it'll give you some ideas of a way to start on something. So that's a good trick.
Cool.
So next week, we're going to talk about hey, you know, have you ever wondered what it would be like to really know for sure when you can just stop doing something or do it? And I'm going to teach you what I call my 60-second litmus test of whether you can, you know, guaranteed not worry about this thing anymore. So we're going to talk about that next week. So just some final thoughts. So just remember that no interest you have is silly or stupid or trivial. And just because there's something you've thought about doing that doesn't fit into your kind of quote normal ways of working and living, it doesn't mean that it's not valid or that that it's not important. Because I think my biggest point is that these are all clues to who you are and what you need to do, and everything you need is sort of right there. But you just have to learn how to see it, especially you learn how to experience it, so that when you do experience something, you have a way to decode that and start to build your knowledge of who you are and what you really want to do so you can make good decisions. And it really will change your life when you figure that out. So then the other thing I want to leave you with is a quote. This is from my interview with my mom. And I'd asked her for what advice she'd give to people trying to figure out what to do next. And she said, "I guess I would just suggest following rabbit trails, no matter how crazy they seem on some level. You don't have to throw everything overboard to do it. Just ask, what can I do that feeds me?" So that's another thing to keep in mind.
I like that.
Yeah, so I will send out an email with kind of a summary of what we talked about tonight and those lists of things you can try so that you all have that. And then I'll also send a link to the recording So come back next week, and we'll talk some more.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming. All right.